they'll work it out. And there you go. Jesus is a rock. Let's roll. Well, good morning. Can we stand together, please? We've got a full house today. We do. Listen, God's here. It's a full house. Trust me. Yeah. So this is a new day, a new opportunity for us. And I think we just grab a hold of it this morning together to press in, to enter in and really listen for what God is saying to you and give up your worship and your praise. And let's acknowledge him and honor him and celebrate him and have a good time doing it. You know, we're all created unique. Each one of us, there's only one of us, and we're made in his image, in his likeness, and we're unique in that, and we need to honor that and worship and have a good time. Just acknowledge who he is. I want us to just be aware of his presence and again, just celebrate. I keep using that word celebrate, but rather than just get through a certain amount of songs, let's press in. Let's acknowledge him. Let's be thankful that this is the day he's made and that it is a brand new day and that his mercies are new right now, right? Yes. The mercies are new right now. Yes. So I don't care what you came in with or whatever, all that other stuff. We're here right now, and his mercy is here right now, his goodness and his glory. So let's acknowledge that. Let's have a good time doing it. Let's celebrate who he is. So, Father, pray with me. Father, we just acknowledge you and we honor you this morning. We thank you for being our daddy, for bringing us together, Father, and creating us in your likeness and giving us a freedom to be us, giving us that ability, the liberty to unite with you and be who you've called us to be, each one of us, and it benefits the other. And we thank you so much, Father, that we celebrate you and we love you, we need you. We thank you that you're here. We acknowledge your presence. We acknowledge what you want to do. Now we just take a moment just to tune into you, to hear what you have to say. And through song and through praise and through worship and through testimony, just to pour into you, just to acknowledge and celebrate you and to continue to be regenerated, brand new. The Bible says we're brand new creations. So let's walk that way. Let's talk that way. Let's think that way. Let's acknowledge him. In that we are continually being molded into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our big brother, the one who laid it all down for us. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for who you are and that we are one with you. You are one with us. So this morning, we celebrate who you are. In Jesus' name, yes. Amen.
Searching for answers far. for answers. Only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Do us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. Do us. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. trust you. All my hope is found in your love. I will trust you. My whole life is found in your love. I will trust you. All my hope is found in your love. I will trust you. My whole life is found in your love.
Faithfulness.
is found in your love. We'll trust,
we'll trust you, God.
All my hope is found in your love. I'll trust you.
Heard so many people say that it's easy to trust God when things are going good, but would you even call that trust? You know, because things are going good, like you don't have to trust because you already see everything's good. It's the hard times, it's the night times, it's the times that are the most difficult, that it has to be everything within us trusting Him. This morning I read scripture and it says, you know, you can't be looking at things and taking from those things what truth really is. You have to look at things that you can't really see. And that's all in the Spirit. That's all in trusting Him, even when things don't look so great right here. It's like standing beside the captain of a ship when the whole sea is in an uproar. And you're rocking back and forth so badly you can hardly hold on. It's trusting Him, the captain, trusting Him when it's not so great. That's true trust.
This house today, we trust you, Lord. In this house today, we trust you, Lord. In this house. We trust you, Lord. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In this house today, we trust you, Lord. This house today, we trust you, Lord. In this house today, we trust you, Lord.
King of Kings,
you're the King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, and we trade. and we trade our fears in for your peace. And we trade these ashes in for beauty. And we trade our fear in for your peace. As you hold us in your arms, as you hold us in your arms.
He's a good, good father.
As you hold us in your arms. As you hold
me.
Oh, I will trust you
as we sing this, we're attaching our faith in God over the situations in our lives that we're facing. When we sing out, I will trust you, we're setting ourselves up to trust him. It's so easy in our minds to set ourselves up for failure. You know, we have conversations with other people before we even have them. Does anyone else do that? But when we sing, I will trust you, we're setting ourselves up to look to God in those situations. So let's sing that one more time.
I will trust you. All my hope is found in your love. I will trust you. My changes as you breathe on me. Everything changes as you breathe on me. Oh, everything changes as you breathe on me. Everything changes as you breathe on me. All my hopes, my fears, and all my dreams, all my heart, my soul, and all I keep, as you teach me, Lord, to lead my family, everything changes as you breathe. Oh, everything changes as you breathe on me. Everything changes as you breathe on me. Everything changes as you breathe on me. It is your Spirit, Lord, that we waiting for. It's on the glory of our risen Lord. It's on the signs and wonders that you bring. Everything changes as you breathe on me. It is your Spirit, Lord, that we are waiting for. It's on the glory of our risen Lord. It's on the signs and wonders that you bring. Everything changes as you breathe. Everything changes as you breathe on me. Oh, everything changes as you breathe on me. How everything changes as you breathe on me. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come, won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come, won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come, won't you come and breathe on me? Oh, won't you come, won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come, won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come, won't you come and breathe on me? Won't you come, won't you come and breathe on me? Everything changes as you breathe on me. 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 Oh, my hopes, my fears, and all my dreams. Oh, my heart, my soul, and all I keep. As you teach me, Lord, to lead my family, how everything changes as you breathe.
Really appropriate that we say, won't you come and breathe on me? So that's what Holy Spirit means, is breath. It's the breath of God. We tend to think of Holy Spirit like, you know, some kind of Casper type thing, but that's not the case. It's the very breath of God. And so when you breathe, guess what? You breathe him in. And sometimes you just need to focus on that. Sometimes I just take some time and I breathe in deep. And I just say, Lord, I'm just taking you in. I'm just receiving all that you are, and I want you to breathe on me back. I want you to transform and change me into a new individual. Speaking of changing into a new individual, what a segue, right? What a great song for this. Well, we have a baptism today. Oops, this isn't going any further, is it? Switch. Just note to self, don't take that mic up here. How you guys doing? Feel strong? I was talking to Noe last night, and he was saying that he was already sensing inside of him something big going on. And baptism can be a major player, major game changer for us. It's a death to the old man and a resurrection to the new man. Glenn can attest to that. He got baptized, I think, because Lotta was getting baptized, and he got baptized, and it was a different guy that came out of the water. And I've never seen that guy anymore. Have you? Maybe he's got a skeleton closet somewhere, but I never see him. So he's dead. Amen. So this is Noe. And Noe is, you want me to go ahead and let Josh here administrate for a second? Because I know he's had a pretty interesting class. Hang on.
I got it. If you're going to give it to me, I've got it. So, first of all, the water is like 103 degrees. Nice. Hot tub in after service. Yeah, Noe here is hungry, and I can sense the presence of the Lord as we're back here waiting. But I just as much as I was sensing the Lord's presence, the Lord was showing me that I'm sensing his hunger as well. Like, it's radiating off of him. Something about you, brother, you know, I mean, it's there. This is real life. This is, like you said, this is a celebration of another step in Christ. Old man, see you later. Yes, newness of life in Christ is here today. As we were praying before we came down, that this day will be marked forever as a turning point for Noe, as a day that will be remembered, will be written in the pages of his existence in Christ, of his scroll, that will always be noted as that day that it changed drastically. And it won't end there. So don't, it's the story is still being written. So with that said, Noe, do you have something you would like to share? I'll hold it for you.
Okay. No, I'm fine. I don't need a mic, actually, because I talk loud. But I do have one right down here. And he's human. What is about to happen is I'm going to be like a snake. I'll leave that old skin down in here, and I'll rise up as a new person. And God is very strong. He's very powerful. I will walk towards him. It's been a while, but I think I can do it. And with all of you here as a family, it's going to be enjoyable. And I want to thank each and every one of you of what you're going to see today, and especially my pastors. With that said and done, a big amen.
Amen. Well, Noe, I think it goes without saying that you're planning on following Jesus all the days of your life, aren't you? Amen. Well, Noe, based on your confession of faith and that you're planning on following the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of your life, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for Noe. God, we thank you for his life. Lord, right now, we just release, God, your anointing, your grace, and your supernatural empowerment, Lord, to live for you. God, we pray you give him a hunger for your word, a hunger, Lord, to spend time with you, a hunger, Lord, just to receive, God, all that you have for him. Lord, open his spiritual eyes, God. He's got natural eyes he can see, but Lord, open his spiritual eyes, Lord, so he can see your kingdom. God, let him see, Lord, your heavenly throne room, God, and experience your presence in a real way, in tangible way, God. We just release, God, your plans and your purposes, your calling and your destiny over his life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have one baptism today, but that was awesome. Praise God.
I have heard a sound coming on the wind, changing hearts and minds, healing brokenness. I mighty generation, breaking through despair. I hear a generation full of faith declare, and our song it will be. Out of the darkness we will rise and sing. He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus, and all my hope is in Him. He is freedom, He is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love, peace and life.
We embrace the life of God today. We celebrate you, Jesus.
I have seen the light like the break of dawn, giving blind men sight, letting lame men walk. I see a generation with resurrection life. We are a generation filled with the power of Christ, and our song it will be. Out of the darkness we will rise and sing. He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus, and all my hope is in Him. He is freedom, He is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love, peace and life. He is faithful, He is glorious, and is Jesus, and all my hope is in Him. He is freedom, He is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love, peace and life. Paid the highest price. He has proven His great love for us. We will praise Him with our lives and proclaim our love for Him. He has paid the highest price. He has proven His great love for us. We will praise Him with our lives and proclaim our love for Him. Proclaim our love for Him. He is faithful, He is glorious, and He is Jesus, and all
Praise the Lord. He has proven his love for us, hasn't he? Says that while we were yet still sinners, God gave his only son, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still in that state. So I want to remind you, if you're feeling like not loved today, if you're feeling like maybe you've done something that is the unpardonable sin, well, number one, you probably wouldn't be here if you'd done the unpardonable sin. But if you feel like you've done something that is going to keep you away from God's love, that's not the case. You're loved. Period. Period. There's not a time that God stops loving you. Saying, but Pastor Mike, I did this, I did that. No. He's proven his great love for us. That while we were at our worst, I was telling somebody today, I wonder if my worst when I was a sinner was really like as bad as my worst when I was a Christian, standing in my own righteousness. That's probably worse than when I was a sinner, because then I was totally depending upon myself. But he loves us with an everlasting love, unconditional love. And we can't really fathom that. We can't get that in our heads. But you can receive it by the Spirit. You can receive it in your heart by the Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your one and only Son so that we could be recipients of your love in a tangible way. Not just knowing it, but Lord, feeling it, and being transformed and changed by your love. Lord, we thank you for your presence being here right now, transforming and changing us, Lord, into who you've called us to be, into your image. And I just ask, Lord, that the rest of this service, Lord, that your perfect will would be done, your kingdom would come in our lives in a more significant way. And we just bless the name of the Lord. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
For your iPad sermon, playing music, studying. But one device can do it all, I guess, huh? Well, would the children please come on up? What's that? You were hoping I would say that? Please, children, please come up. Children, come on down. Are you guys ready for a great day?
Yes.
Okay. Well, why don't you just pray with me for a minute? Let's open up our hearts. Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would just allow us to receive everything you have for us today, Lord, and especially, God, your word that you have for us. Help it to change us and transform us and make us to who you've called us to be. Lord, we just ask for your blessing and your richness to come into our lives, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to receive all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Made it. Yes. Oh, yes. Thanks for reminding me. So I wanted to pass around again today. We passed it last week. This is a, and we'll pass it for the next few weeks so we can get some great volunteers. We got a few on here, but this is for cleaning the church. And it's like once every, I think it's like every four or five, every 6 weeks, about every 6 weeks if you sign up. So it's not like you have to do it every single week. We trade off with New Life Center, which is the church that meets here after us on Sundays, and they do it 1 week and we do it another week. So it's a good way to serve and to let others receive your work, because we all enjoy a clean church. So I'll let you guys. You're already on there, yes. So normally people come in either on like a Friday or Saturday and clean. So if you'd like to sign up for that, you can see Pastor Josh and myself about any details. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to kind of, I don't have slides today, so I apologize for those who really get into the place where they like slides. To follow along, but I kind of want to follow still along the kind of the direction the Lord is taking us, and that's to become in the appearance least in the kingdom, but greatest in the kingdom. That as we put ourselves in a place of the least among everyone, that's becoming a slave and a servant to all, we become greatest in the kingdom. And that's the picture of the upside down mountain and the principle of us decreasing, but at the same time as we're decreasing, we're increasing in God. Today I want to share a little bit of the principle of the first will be last, because that's following along with that thought. And I'm going to be reading, first of all, through from Matthew 19:16, and then into chapter 20 for a few verses. So a little bit of reading here, so bear with me. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly, I say that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Let me pray. Father, I just come before your throne of grace right now. Lord, as a matter of fact, all of us, Lord, come before your throne of grace, Lord. We just ask that you would allow us to hear, Lord, what you're saying to us today, Lord. We'd be able to receive, Lord, your words to us. And God, that you would give us the grace and the strength, Lord, to follow through with them. Lord, I pray for every heart, Lord, that may be weighted or heavy or distracted, God, that you would just bring freedom to them, Lord, so that they could set their gaze and their attention on you this morning. Lord, we want to know what it means to be in your kingdom, but not just in your kingdom, Lord, but to be in your kingdom in such a way, Lord, that we are serving others. Help us, Lord, to live out the principle, Lord, of the first will be last and the last will be first. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I want to give you a little bit of a golden nugget. That's not what I'm teaching on, but I think this is important for us to know here. Jesus looked at them and said in verse 26, said to them, "With men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible." Oh, yes, that's Matthew 19:26. "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.'" I love that we're not limited to our own strength. We're not limited to our own abilities. We're not limited to even someone else's strength or abilities. That with God, everything is possible. Now you say, "Well, Pastor Mike, how can it be all things?" Well, because he said it. So all things are possible with God. So I want to encourage you, if you're looking at a situation or you're looking at your life or you're looking at circumstances and you're saying, "There's no way this is going to happen." Well, with men, with your own self, with even the resources of this world, it may be impossible. With God, all things are possible. Even to the place that these disciples thought, "Oh, there's no way that we're going to make it then. If rich men can't, I mean, if it's more easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle," which evidently was the camel getting down on its, almost like its knees and crawling through this hole, very, very difficult thing to do, "than for a rich man to enter the kingdom." Then God is saying here, Jesus is saying here, hey, it's no problem with God. It may be difficult in your own strength, but it's no problem with God at all. So if we continue on with this thought in chapter 20, Jesus says then, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And at about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those who came, who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'This last man have worked only at 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." So here we have a story, you can call it like a parable, and Jesus is saying there was this landowner, and he needed some workers for his vineyard. Pretty typical. A lot of times people are harvesting around here, and there's not enough work, and so the orchardist, the farmer will go out and try to get more work, more people to come and get this job done. And so he goes early in the morning and he finds some gentlemen. He says, "Listen, I can't remember exactly what a denarius is, but I think it's like just a normal day wages." And so he says, will you work for this day's wage? And they go, oh, sure, yeah, that'll be great. And so they go out and they start working in the vineyard. And so the work's not getting done. There's still more harvesting that needs to be done. So he says, okay, I've got to go get more workers. And so he goes out probably, you know, around 11 o'clock in the morning and finds some people and says, hey, will you come work? I'll pay you whatever's fair. And so he goes and he takes them into the vineyard and they get working and, oh man, this job's still not getting done. So he goes and he gets somebody maybe in the 2 in the afternoon and whatever's fair, I'll pay you for your work today. Okay, great. To the place where he goes almost every hour after that, to the very last hour, it'd be like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You imagine somebody getting hired 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they're going to work an hour. And they're probably thinking, man, what's an hour's work? You know, I'm not going to get hardly anything, but whatever's fair, I'll give you. So what's he do? He then gets all the people around him, and he starts with the last. I think there's a reason why he started with the last. And I think there's a reason why Jesus started with the last in this story. Because he starts to pay the last what the first were going to get paid. Now, most of us, when I read this, I thought, well, that's really not fair. I thought like those guys. I mean, they've been working all day long. But what we have to realize is that we're talking about the goodness of God here. We're talking about the richness of who he is. And when he, like us, when we receive salvation, maybe we've received salvation. I did at 19. Maybe you've been saved your whole life. And you have gifts and you have life that he's given you and a richness that he's given you in your life because of his presence. And you may be see somebody who comes into the kingdom, you know, last hour. Maybe they're in their late 60s, 70s. Maybe to you, they look like they shouldn't even be in the kingdom because that, you know, they've been evil or something like that. Maybe you know of them. Maybe they have some kind of reputation and they come to the kingdom. And all of a sudden, God starts giving them exactly what he gave you. I think of an elder brother who was in a place where he was working for his father. And his younger brother left and took his wealth with him, took his inheritance with him, went and squandered all the inheritance. And then he came back to his father just wanting to be a servant in the house. And his father said, no, 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 you're my son. You're gonna be restored to a place of sonship again. You were lost and you're found. Let's have a party. Let's kill the fatted calf. And so he started having a party for his lost son. And the elder brother who came in, the one who was first, came in. And he said, what are you doing? This one squandered all your wealth. He's last. He is at the bottom of the food chain, Father. What are you doing? You've never done this for me. You've never given me a party. You've never invited all my friends, all your friends, and celebrated me. And the father goes, well, you've always been here. You're first. You're first. I'd give you anything. I mean, you've got anything is yours. So do you see what's happened here? In their hearts, because they were first, they appreciated themselves. They put themselves at a higher value. Just as those workers who worked all day long, they appreciated themselves. They said, well, boy, that guy's worked an hour. I've worked 10 hours. I've worked 8 hours, whatever it was, in the heat of the day. If he paid him that much, wow, he's going to like double my pay or triple my pay. And then you get exactly what you agreed to. Do you see how Jesus is dealing with our hearts? He was dealing with the hearts of the disciples with this one. Disciples didn't have it all together either. Just because they were disciples doesn't mean they were perfect. Just because they were apostles, when they were building the church, they still made errors at times. Okay, let's go to another verse. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Now, this is after they had been, let's see what this one was. Oh, yeah, this is after Jesus heals the boy of the unclean spirit, and they end up in Capernaum afterwards. Verse 33, Mark 9, 33. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you were disputing about among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest, who would be first. Who is the greatest one of all of us? Peter probably said, you know, Jesus said upon this rock he's going to build his church, so obviously, you know, I've got to be the greatest. You know, and John says, well, listen, I lay my head on Jesus' breast. I lay my head on his chest. I hear his heartbeat. I must be the greatest. Judas said, hey, listen, I carry the money. Surely I must be the greatest. I wonder what the other stories were. They were disputing among themselves. Who is first here? Who's going to get the chief spot next to Jesus? Who's going to get the recognition and the accolades for being the best disciple? And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Probably not what they wanted to hear. And he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Do you understand? There's a receiving heart for the little ones in the best, in the last or the first, however you want to put it. The one who makes himself the lowest in the kingdom of God is the highest. Now, I don't believe that we can say, okay, I'm going to be the lowest and I'm going to act low so that I can be high. No, it's a true heart that we have of being empty. Empty of our own ways, empty of our own strengths. It has to be where we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. You guys know that, don't you? You can't do it on your own. Although we try. We try. We may at one time say, Lord, I give everything over to you. And then after we've prayed it, you know, something goes a little sideways and we start taking it back. Well, let me help you with this. Let me make sure that it does succeed. So I'll keep my hands on it. Most of the time when we do that, what does it do? It fails. Falls flat on its face. So God is asking us this day, can we be least in the kingdom? Can we be last? Can we be the one, not necessarily at the end of the line? I know that when we would have banquets or, you know, potlucks downstairs, as pastors, we always say, well, I'm going to let everybody go first and I'm going to, you know, be last here. And there's nothing wrong with that, preferring others. But sometimes it was a way of, what's the word I want to use? Almost in a way of saying, you know what, in almost like a, can't think of the word, but it's like, woe is me, in a way. You go first, I'm the pastor, I'll go last. And it was almost like it was defeating the very purpose of letting others go first. Isn't that terrible? That the fact that I'm last was a way to make people go, oh, he must be first. It's all about the heart, folks. It's really about how we think. It's really about how we view things. And the only way that that's going to change, the only way that that's going to change is if we take on the mind of Christ. We live with the mind of Christ. Some of you say, well, Pastor, how can I live with the mind of Christ? Because my mind is so loud in my head. Well, that's where we have to really be still. We have to learn to just relax and not be in such a hurry. That's hard for some of us. Because some of us, our whole job is based on being in a hurry. Getting it done as fast as you can, as quick as you can, and get on to the next item. But that's not the way it works in God. And God, we need to slow down. We need to take that breath. Realize that his breath is all around us, that he's breathing on us life. That the very fact that our heart is beating says that he's in us. And take time and listen to him. And say, Lord, how do I allow this truth to work in my life, that the first will be last and the last will be first? That to be the greatest in the kingdom means to be servant of all. To be the one that receives somebody as if you're receiving them into their hearts. They can truly prefer others over themselves, not to elevate themselves, but to truly prefer others. Because this is truly kingdom business. This is truly a reflection of what the body of Christ should look like. And not just in deed, not just doing it so that we do the right things, but a true expression of who we are inside. And that takes full transformation. That takes going back again to those waters of baptism, if you have to, and say, you know what, Lord? I buried that old man in those waters. You said that he who's been baptized has been crucified in Jesus' death. And that old man, that old nature, those old ways, they're gone. You may have to appropriate the truth of who you are. Maybe you'll have to say, 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm a new creation. I'm not the same. I'm a new creation. Old things have totally passed away. All things have become new in my life. These are baptism scriptures. I'm sure you probably heard them this morning. I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. It's not I who live anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. See, it's those truths that are going to let us live out first being last, servant of all. Preferring others, not just again in deed, but in heart. And again, the responsibility is up to everyone in this room. I can't make you guys take on this heart. I mean, I can share a sermon and share a message and tell you what God's, you know, putting on my heart and maybe what he's doing in my life at times, but this is something you have to take on. This is something you have to take ownership of, that you are being called to be a servant of all. You say, well, in this house? Well, maybe not in this house. Maybe in your workplace. Maybe in your family. Maybe in your neighborhood. And I know there's times that, you know, say, hey, we're going to go and serve the neighborhood so we can get people in church. You're trading on something. You realize that? You're giving them love so that they'll come to your place. Let's not do that. Let's give them love because God loves them. Who cares about where they go? Or, I mean, it's great to see them. What? You? Yeah, I know. But what I mean, who cares if they come back to your house? Just love. Just love. And I know more and more houses of faith are doing that now, where they just love. They're not out there for just to build their own structure or build their own place. But if we do anything with an ulterior motive, that's our reward. You know, if the disciples were doing things to try to get Jesus to see, oh, look at what I'm doing here, Jesus. Do you see how great I am? They got their reward. And I don't want earthly rewards. I do not want them. Because they're not eternal. I don't necessarily want people to admire and speak well of me. So the Bible says that that's not a good thing. I was thinking about that the other day. There's a lot of times that people are admiring and speaking well of me. And I thought, well, that scripture doesn't apply. I wonder how much that scripture applies and we've missed it. gotten real quiet in here. So that's my message for today. That's what I'm sharing. But is there anybody has any comments, anything on their heart that they want to share as well? Any questions? I could say any answers. Ruth? Can everybody hear her? No. Okay, hang on. Let's... Should I switch mics? Would that be better? It'll work? Okay. Here we go. It's okay. Well, that way someone can make a comment, too, if you say something that's...
Well, yeah. When I was going to bed, saying my prayers... For some reason, and I don't know what, well, we all know why, but I said, Lord, wake me in the morning with a song in my heart and a smile on my face. Now, at that time, when I was going to bed, waking up, I had 10,000 reasons going through my head that wouldn't go away. So when I wake up with that song in my head, I think nothing of it. I woke up. A song in my head that I do not recognize had one word, just one word. It was Hosanna. And it was the tune was like 1,000 angels singing. And later, as I was sitting there reflecting on what had happened, my prayer dawned on me suddenly. And it's like, thank you. I not only got a smile on my face, I had a smile on my heart. And now whenever I need my quiet time, I think of that and he gives it to me.
Praise the Lord.
Usually a couple of minutes, but that works.
Isn't it something though? That's good, Ruth. Thank you. Isn't it something how we can pray and then just, you know, go on and not even... remember that we prayed something and then God starts answering it and we're like, what is this? It's God. Anybody else? Anyone? Pastor Josh? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I know this is a kind of a different message as they pretty much have all been lately, but I want you to realize that God is wanting you guys to stand on your own. And when you say stand on your own, you mean like, oh, my own strength? No, stand on your own in him. But to really, truly learn what it means to be a son or a daughter. And maybe it's as simple as, Lord, put a song in my heart in the morning and a smile on my face. But interacting with God, he's a living God and he's alive inside of you. And waiting till you come here, or waiting till you know, read your Bible, or waiting till whatever would be the spiritual time that you would consider to be spiritual, isn't going to cut it anymore. We're going to have to start having him on our thoughts. Because we're on his all the time. You guys know that? There's not a moment he doesn't think about us. And they're always good thoughts towards us. Isn't that a good thing? To know even when there's people out there that don't have any good thoughts towards you, God still has good thoughts towards you. And they're thoughts to bless you and prosper you and to give you a future and a hope. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? I think I've got two mics going on here. I'm going to go ahead and drop this one. Okay, I got it. I keep the sound man on his... Yeah. Yeah. I could have just held this. It would have been okay. Sometimes you just do things by habit.
But would you do me an honor and just with me, just put your hand on your heart and just take a moment and just think of the Lord. Think of his goodness towards you. Father, we just ask, Lord, that you would just impart to us, Lord, your grace, your supernatural empowerment, God, to live for you. Lord, we want to be who you've called us to be. And we know, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, all things in this life that pertains to this life and also to our godliness in you. So, Lord, we just ask, God, that you would continue to unfold, to unravel, Lord, anything that's in us that is not who you want us to be. And that you would just cleanse it with the blood of Christ and make us into who you've called us to be. Lord, we want to be ones who just enjoy sitting at your feet. Enjoy putting others before ourselves. Because we know if others increase and grow in you and receive your love, Lord, that we're blessed as well. Help us see this world through your eyes, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see with supernatural eyes. With eyes, Lord, of faith that receives the substance of that faith. Lord, I just release, God, your blessing and your grace over your people, over my family right here. Lord, that you would allow them, God, to just hear your voice as a still small voice, but also crystal clear. Lord, allow them to see, God, Lord, what is unseen, and let that be what is eternal to them. Lord, let their speech, God, be in such a way that it's as if you're speaking. Lord, let love fill their homes. True God love fill their homes. Allow your perfect will, your perfect plan to be accomplished in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Stay cool, because it's hot out there. Anybody know the temperature yet? Anybody surfing the web know the temp already? It's warming.